Well, good morning and welcome to New Life Family Church. You guys can go ahead and find your way back to your seats. Wow, I had, you have no idea what to expect. And when you come in to worship, and I certainly wasn't expecting Brian to be here this morning. And it's just a powerful thing when people are desperate for God, and God is present, and he loves us so much, and he brings his love and his healing and his power to our lives when we need him the most. So what a great day to be in the house of God. Good morning and welcome to New Life Family Church. I hope that you have come hungry for God's word. So I want you to open your Bibles and flip over to the New Living Translation, because I assume you have a digital Bible. If you have a paper Bible, whatever translation that is will be fine. Of course, I heard no pages rustling, but people were pulling out. Now, while you have your phone in your hand, go ahead and like us and follow us on Instagram and Facebook. But don't be trolling on high school buddies and then judging them for not going to church today. You just, open the Bible app, and that's fine. You can ignore your notifications for the next 30 minutes. I want to get into the Word this morning because lately in this last few weeks, we have been re-presenting the culture of New Life Family Church, because I feel like God is doing great things in our church, and a lot of you are new, and I just want to welcome you that are new, but I also want to give you our playbook. So last Sunday, we literally gave you the playbook. The Sunday before, we talked about saved people, serving people. Last Sunday, we talked about that at New Life, we know, we grow, and we do what God has called us to do. And then last Saturday in a worship development, so the whole worship and technical department under Jeff, they were meeting together, and Jeff asked me if I could share for a few minutes on the vision of the church, just to kind of remind people of the vision of what we do. And I did, and I did that whole thing on no, grow, do, the same thing I gave you guys Sunday morning. But then I added to it a part of our culture. And you know what I mean when I say culture? Imagine it this way. Have you ever been to God's Chicken? I think it's called Chick-fil-A. And every single Chick-fil-A has this, like, beautiful silver-haired grandma or grandpa welcoming you when you walk in, right? And they're like, hi, welcome to Chick-fil-A. Like, I'm so happy you're in my home, and I'm just going to take care of you for the next few minutes. And then there's some, sophomore in high school that welcomes you to the counter, and it'll be my pleasure to serve you with a number one with no pickles. That's wonderful. And you get your sweet tea and sit down, and then grandma or grandpa comes by, and they refill your sweet tea. And have you ever noticed it's always clean? It's always perfectly air-conditioned. It's always fast. Everyone is always smiling. And it's like that from Miami to Maine, from Seattle to Atlanta. And the point is this. Chick-fil-A decided early on, we want to create a culture that is replicatable, and not just in our food, but in our people, that everybody looks people in the eye and smiles and says, welcome, and how can I serve you? And it's my pleasure to serve you. And we're gonna hire some older folks to treat people like grandma and grandpa would treat you. And we're always gonna have clean restaurants, and we're always gonna have it perfectly air conditioned, and we're always gonna have fast, good service. You know what I'm saying? They were intentional about that, so then they taught their leaders, they taught their owners to recreate that in every environment. So there is a culture at Chick-fil-A. In fact, I had my oil changed this summer. We were driving across Tennessee on Route 40, I-40, and the little, computer came in the truck and said, hi, Brad, it's time for an oil change. And if you don't, we'll void your warranty, so pull over. So we pulled over, and I just found some sort of a Quickie Lube place. It wasn't even like a name brand place, just like, Tennessee Bob's Quickie Lube or whatever. We'll get you in and out in 15 minutes. And normally, I would be scared of places like that, especially with my nice new truck. But we pulled in, and immediately this guy, now we were in the middle of Tennessee. And if you've never been to Tennessee, I'm talking about the middle of Tennessee, if you know what I'm saying. And so I wasn't expecting anybody to come out and be able to speak English intelligently. And I apologize if you're from Tennessee. I prejudged. Dang, this section is critical of my. I was just going for the laugh. It wasn't like a literal thing. Relax. So then this guy comes out. He's like, hello, good afternoon, and welcome to Quickie Lube. My name's, Ricky, and I'll be your guy today, and we're going to help get you through in 15 minutes or less. And then they drive you in, and you sit in the car and wait while they, zoom around the car. And I sat there, and Ricky, or whatever his name was, was like super polite and super respectful and super great communicator and looked me in the eye. And then I also noticed something. This was the cleanest oil change place. They change oil for a living, but the floors were spotless and the walls were spotless. And everybody was like hustling around and smiling and waving at me. And it was the best oil change experience of my life. And when I pulled out, I told Josie, I said, these people just Chick-fil-A'd my oil. Because Chick-fil-A has created such a culture of exceptional customer service that is how you describe an amazing experience with customer service in an oil change place. You see what I'm saying? That's a culture. So what I want to do today is to remind you and reinstitute to you part of the culture of New Life Family Church. Now, I was brought up in the ministry as a youth pastor and in youth ministry and going through Bible college and working for other ministries, that the culture was aggressive. The culture was that 80s and 90s where the pastor or the leader was a very heavy-handed, strong, domineering type leader. I know that you can't imagine that, but anybody who was in church in the 90s, you know what I'm talking about. And it was dysfunctional. It wasn't a healthy place. And if you made a mistake, you know, you were shamed and you were fired and you were brought down a level. And, you know, it's God forbid you sinned. Like, oh my goodness, like if somebody who wasn't married had sex with somebody they weren't married to, or somebody was got high or got drunk, they were not only thrown out of the church or the ministry, but boy, they were shamed on their way out the door. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I was brought up until about 8 years ago, I was given a book and I read it called The Culture of Honor by Danny Silk. And Danny Silk was one of the pastors out at Bethel Church in Redding, California. And Danny wrote this book, and he really wrote it specifically for church leaders to change their culture, that they would create a culture of honor. So for me, it was eye-opening. It was mind-blowing. It changed my life. This one book changed my life, changed my ministry. Because instead of seeing people through a culture of control and domineering and striving, It altered everything in my ministry and at New Life Family Church that we would be a culture of honor. So today I want to remind us of our culture of honor. Now, me personally and my personality and being from the East Coast, and I have a teensy-weensy little character flaw, and that is, I don't know why Rick and Catherine are laughing so loud, teensy-weensy little character flaw, and that is I will sometimes prejudge people, like those from Tennessee, and I will prejudge people, and especially if they do something stupid, I will say one of two things. How could you be so dumb and still breathe? This is a true statement. I'm just telling you, your pastor's a sinner. Or, what is wrong with you? Nothing's wrong with me, but there's something wrong with you to have done something so stupid. So those two things. Now, I would have done great in the Old Testament because the Old Testament was a shame-based culture. I mean, I know God is love and all, but in the Old Testament, the way he set the rules up, it was, you know, in Jewish culture, if you did wrong, you were shamed in front of the whole nation of Israel. If take the adulterous woman in front of the whole community and stone her to death. You know, take this adulterous son, if he was, you know, I mean, this dishonoring son, if he dishonored his parents, take him in front of the entire nation of Israel and stone him to death. Tisk, tisk, shame, shame on you for what you did. And that Old Testament shame-based culture translated into the American church in the 80s and 90s, and it translated into my life until I read the book, The Culture of Honor. Because you have to kind of ask yourself, what is honor? Honor in our society, honor in 2018 in America is rare, and it is not the norm, and it is not, I mean, what is it? Is it just to be polite? Is it to be respectful? Is it to be considerate? So what we're going to do today is we're going to look at the Bible. What does the Bible say about honor? Now, first of all, I want to remind you, especially in the Old Testament, that honor in the kingdom of Israel, let me also remind you of this. The nation of Israel was a literal kingdom. You get that, right? I mean, Jesus is our king, and that's amazing. Praise hallelujah. But in ancient Israel, King Saul, King David, King Solomon, there were actual literal kings. So there were kings. There were prophets. There were wealthy landowners. These were the people that we read about being honored. And then Jesus came and changed everything. Jesus came and said, the kingdom is no longer a political kingdom. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is here. And the kingdom of God is going to take preeminence over whatever kingdom you live in. And in the kingdom of God, there are six people, six areas that we are to honor. Number one, political leaders, kings, whoever's in charge of us. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17 says, respect everyone, love the family of believers, New Life Family Church, fear God and respect the king, or honor the king, even if you didn't vote for him. Even if you disagree with their political positions. Even if you diabolically disagree with them, you honor the king. You honor those who are in charge. Now, can I remind you of something? Didn't I say that that came from Peter? Peter was the head of the church in Jerusalem. Agrippa was the king of Israel. And he was trying to squash this Jesus rebellion. And the best way he could do that was by killing Jews that believed in Jesus. So in spite of the king killing people that believed in Jesus, Peter taught the Christians to honor the king. Number two, parents. It's the fifth commandment, to honor one's parents. And I'm just being, in my observation, in my 44 years on this earth, honoring of parents has been in what we would consider a steep decline for the last 30 or 40 or 50 years. Maybe it's because parents are not honoring their parents, so children are not honoring them. I'm just throwing that out there as a maybe. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 2, I'm going to drop the mic, but the sound guy told me I'm not allowed to do that anymore. Honor your father and mother, and then you will live a long and full life in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Would you like to live a long life? Honor your parents. You might say, listen, dude, you don't know my parents. First of all, they died 20 years ago. Second of all, they were terrible. They were drug addicts, or they were abusive, or you know, they beat me, or they mocked me, or they sexually assaulted me, and now they're dead. I can't honor them. You can honor them in your heart, that you would forgive them if they hurt you or harmed you. Or if they're still alive, that you would call them. College students, just pull out your phone, text your parents, and be like, I love you. Thank you for sending me to Texas to go to school and paying for it. I should see heads down on phones right now from this whole section of college students right here. Josie and I dropped our son off. He wanted to go to Liberty University. That's fine, but that is 1,200 miles away. So Josie and I drove 2,400 miles this week all the way to Lynchburg, Virginia. Spent the day dropping him off. We got back last night. So Josh, if you're watching, you need to text your mom and dad how much you love us and appreciate us right now. Honor your mom and dad. Number three, we're supposed to honor our wives or honor our spouses. 1 Peter 3:7. Some of you are going to like this section. Some of you aren't. In the same way, husbands, give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together so that although she might be the weaker than you are, she is your equal partner and God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should with honor so that your prayers will not be hindered. No big deal, fellas, but if you don't honor your wife, God will not answer your prayers. God just dropped the mic on that arrogant, proud, sexist, abusive style of being a husband. God doesn't honor those prayers. God honors when we humble ourselves to one another and we love and we serve and we honor our spouses. Number four, we're supposed to honor widows and orphans. What is the purpose of honoring a widow and orphan? The purpose is you honor somebody that can't punish you. You honor somebody that has no influence over your life. James 1:27, pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. You're honoring people that can't force you to honor them. Joyce is 85 years old, and I love her with all of my heart, but as much as I love her, she can't, like, come into my office and force me to honor her. She's 85. I could probably smack her around a little bit if I wanted to, you know what I'm saying? I'm saying I could take her. I'm out of shape, but I could take her. She's from Boston, so maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But I choose to honor her. That's honor. When you lay down your life, not because the other person is making you honor them, but because you choose to humble yourself and honor them. Number five, you're supposed to honor the Lord. And when I typed in honor the Lord in my search, my Bible program, it was just like, where do you want to start? We've got hundreds and hundreds of verses. So I just wrote in my notes, duh. Just honor the Lord. Like, there's too many verses, for real. But then I want you to examine your heart. Do I really honor the Lord? Do I really, really honor God? Like, if you were in the presence of the Queen of England or the President of the United States or Dak Prescott or somebody, would you really honor them? And then I'm asking you, do you really honor the Lord? Because I think we're religious around the Lord, but I don't know with all of our heart if we honor and we esteem and we fear His holiness and His power. Do we honor Him with our marriage? Do we honor Him with how we raise our children? Do we honor God with what we watch on television and movies and screens and entertainment? Do we honor God with our giving and our tithing? Do we honor God with our worship? Let me put it this way. Here's an example. Do you work or go to school in a strict place that if you are late for work or you're late for school, two or three times you're fired or you're in detention, right? But you'll be late for church like it's no big deal. It's because you lack honor for God. You're like, well, I'll just catch the second song. The first song's not important. I don't need to worship God for the first song. Let's not get carried away. Y'all didn't like that. Number six. Thank you. Honor everyone? Question mark. Can we reread 1 Peter 2:17? Respect or honor everyone. Love the family of believers, New Life Family Church, honor one another in the church, and then fear God and respect the king. But go back to the beginning of that, and let's put the screeching halt. Respect everyone? Child, please. I mean, don't come at me with honor everybody. Can I ask one just quick question? Who is left out of everybody? Nobody. But our response is, no, you don't understand. I honor those that are worthy of honor. I honor political leaders. I honor the president. I honor the mayor. I honor the police officer that pulled me over. I honor my teacher. I honor my boss. I honor, you know, Billy Graham when he was alive. I honor Bill Johnson. I honor these people because they've earned it. Who do you think I am to just offer up honor for everybody? I'm waiting for them to earn honor from me. Listen, that's your choice. God's choice is that you honor everybody. And biblical honor is defined in several different places, and we're going to read those verses, but basically to sum it up, it is to find glory in another. That you find the good in them. You find the glory in them. And some of you have been like, you haven't met my ex-husband. You know, you haven't met this, my boss. You haven't met my neighbor. You haven't met this terrible person in my life. One question. I'm asking you a lot of one questions. 46th question. Have they been created in the image of God? We are to honor everyone because they have been created in the image of God. And the thing is, it's easy to honor people we love. It's easy to honor fun, happy, sweet people. It's hard to honor when there's a problem in the relationship. It's easy to honor when you're driving down 183 and everyone's doing 63 miles an hour and everyone's spacing themselves correctly. But then there's that guy in the white pickup truck. And why is it always a white pickup truck? And he comes zooming down the right lane and he's zooming across at 86 miles an hour and he's cutting back across. And then he clips some 16-year-old driving on the highway for the very first time and sends him into the Jersey wall. And everybody walks away, and this, some of you that went dark on that analogy, shame on you. Everybody walks away, everything's fine, but now traffic is snarled for an hour. And you're back there, and you saw that white truck, and you know it was his fault. And you have to honor him. Brad in Irving yesterday coming back, I made it 2,395 miles, and I got stuck behind one of those accidents on Irving on 183 yesterday. And I may have struggled in the honor department for whoever caused that accident. See, we feel like if we've been betrayed, they're not worthy of honor. If we've been hurt, they're not worthy of honor. If they've hurt us, they're not worthy of honor. The night before Jesus gave up his life on the cross, he was celebrating the Passover with the 12 disciples. And he got down on his hands and feet, and he washed the feet of the 11 await the 12. And I remind you, Judas is not the only one that betrayed Jesus that night. They all walked out on him. And then he made those 11 that made it pillars of the church. He offered them the new covenant. See, Jesus honored those that didn't deserve it. I'm glad that Jesus didn't have my personality, because he would have been like, hey, Peter, when you hear that third rooster crow, you are dead to me, son. Just letting you know. Don't bother coming back around. Don't come by my grave on the third day and come running in. Like, you're not welcome up in this joint. You betrayed me. Some of you are like, he's so mean. Some of you are like, I get you. Let me also mention this. Jesus offered honor when nobody deserved it, when they were going to betray him. Nobody can take away your honor. How you give honor is in your hands. So even if they have wronged you, the only one wrong is you when you don't give honor. And too often, we only give honor to those that we calculate, we prejudge, worthy of giving honor. Oh, that homeless person, that guy that smells like pee, that guy that smells like Budweiser, he's not worthy of my honor. The guy that cuts everybody off and then has an accident and makes us all sit here for an hour, not worthy of my honor. Somebody that's addicted to pornography or drugs or alcohol or whatever, and they can't get off of it, they're not worthy of my honor. Liberals, nope, not worthy. Like, you know, whatever it is for you that really twists you, they're not worthy of my honor. Listen, honor is not something that people are deserving. Honor is something that we just simply give to, what did the Bible say? Everyone. You're honoring who they are because of who you are. Now, I'm going to take it for a few minutes, and I'm going to talk to Christians. If you're here this morning and you're not yet a Christian, you're in the right place. But for the next few minutes, I'm going to specifically talk to Christians, people that believe that Jesus is real, that Jesus is Lord, that he died on the cross, that he rose from the dead, and we believe that he is Lord. We've repented of our sin. We've turned our back on sin, and we've given our lives to Jesus, and we have eternal life to look forward to. But so I'm going to talk to Christians for a moment. We have no right to not give honor, not because of who they are, but because of who we are. See, the Bible says that when we put our faith in Jesus, he removes our sin, and then he calls us sons. He calls us daughters of the Most High God, meaning we are royalty. We are kingdom royalty. So it is our job. Jesus lifted us up, so it is our job to elevate somebody else's status when they're around us. You see what I'm saying? It's our job to give honor even when it's not deserved because of who we are. We are royalty in the eyes of heaven. And that's what Jesus did to us. John chapter 15 and verse 15. Jesus said, listen, I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. You are now my friends because I've told you everything that the Father told me. Jesus elevated the disciples' status to friendship, to honor. Jesus elevated your status and my status to that of royalty. So to Jesus, no one is beneath him because he's lifted everybody up that was made in the image of God. So who are we to leave anybody down under us in a place of shame or dishonor? See, the concept of honor is that it's heavy, it's weighty, that we have to get up under there and we lift them up and we honor them even if they don't deserve it. We give that honor to others. We are the royalty ones. We are the sons and daughters of God. We come up underneath them and we give honor to others. It's heavy, but because they were made in the image of God, we have no right to withhold honor from everybody. So where did this honor come from? It's because Jesus elevated our status. It's because Jesus calls us royalty. He's given us his power. He's given us his spirit. He's adopted us to become sons and daughters. He's made us royalty. So our royalty is an elevation of our status that we didn't deserve. You and I didn't deserve this. He gave it to us because he loves us. So don't look at other people to honor you. You're already royal. All you need to do is just know who you are in Christ and that you have been lifted up. So therefore, you lift others up in honor around you. When we give honor to others, we change the atmosphere. We change the culture of whatever room we walk into. You ever been in a room full of people, social setting, and like the super happy, fun, encouraging person walks in and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy to be here and you look great and you're amazing and I love that dress on you and I love your hair and I love the music and everything is amazing. And you're like, I feel better about myself. I'm gonna hug a stranger. And then this other person walks in and they just kind of come in and they're like looking at everybody and they go up against the wall and they're just, you know, just Darth Vadering you, dun, dun, da, da, da. And like nobody wants to look at them and nobody wants to talk to them. And then you're like, you finally hear them speak and all they do is complain that it's too hot in Texas. Side note, can we just stop complaining about the heat in Texas? Either move to the north or shut up. Complaining changes nothing except the culture around you and it brings the culture down. When you're a person of kingdom honor, you walk into a room and you start lifting people up around you because you know who you are in Christ and you automatically give honor. You've changed the culture. Jesus is king of my life. Jesus is king of whatever room I walk into, so I'm gonna lift you up. Why is this such a big deal? Because of the power of the cross. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, God showed his great love for New Life Family Church. How? By sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. All of us have sinned. All of us are unworthy. All of us don't deserve or don't belong in a place of honor. But what happened is honor gives prestige to people. It gives prestige to somebody who was unworthy of honor. You and I receive honor from God even though we don't deserve it. It gives us a place of royalty. When we give honor to others, we're lifting up. In that relationship, we're making something eternal out of a temporal situation. See, we often will treat relationships as if they're temporary. And that it's like, hey, if everything's good, I'm good, you're good, I honor you, I love you, all is well. But the moment you hurt me, I'm gonna drop you. And what we've done is we've taken a relationship and we've made it very temporal. What can I get out of this before I drop you? I'm not going to see you again. I'm not going to come back to this restaurant. I'm just going to leave. So I'm going to drop you. I'm going to shame you for what you did. We've made something eternal. We are eternal beings. You will live forever in heaven. Or if you don't believe in Jesus, you will die forever in hell. You are an eternal being. So the relationships that we have should be where we speak life and eternity into, but we treat relationships as if they're temporal, which devalues people. The devil is the god of this world. God is the king of the universe, but the devil has been given some rule, some power, and some authority, and he loves to boil relationships down to what can I get out of this? How can you serve me? How can you help me? What can you do to me to help me? That is the culture of the devil, the culture of this world. The culture of the kingdom says, man, what can I do to you to lift you up? What can I do to you to encourage you? What's the golden rule, Luke 6:31? Do to others as they would have you do to them? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever made a stupid mistake? You ever blown it? I mean, you ever just done a boneheaded, dumb thing? Maybe it cost your company money or you dropped something valuable and it was expensive or you left your purse somewhere and everything got stolen or whatever. Like you did a lame brain car accident. You know, you reach down to change the radio, you look up, you smash into something. It's just stupid, right? Would you like to be shamed and dishonored in that moment? Or would you like to be like, hey, it's okay, no big deal. It will heal, we'll replace, we'll buy again. It's no big. Do you want to be shamed or do you want to be honored even when you blow it? Do to others as you would have them do to you. Demonstrate honor, demonstrate love without shame. Got 2 minutes and 28 seconds to do a 10-minute closing. I'm gonna talk fast and I'm gonna go late. Because I wrote this at the end of my notes and then I just kept writing and writing and writing and it was so good if I do say so myself. And then I stepped back and I had 8 pages of notes and I'm like, uh-oh, I'm gonna go late. But I'll say this. I never go late anymore. I'm always very good on the time. So you give me one late one. And some of you are like, yeah, but it's 101 degrees outside and the AC's not keeping up. Move north. The weather in Lynchburg, Virginia, the high was like 72 with like zero humidity, the Blue Ridge Mountains in the background. My son Josh was like, I am home. And then I drove to Texas. John chapter 13. Your love for one another is going to prove to the world that you're my disciples. You know why the church has a bad name? We stop proving to the world because we stop loving and honoring the world. The poor, the lost, the broken, we've begun to dishonor them. So therefore, we are no longer in a place where we're demonstrating the kingdom to the world. We're no longer in a place where we can help others. All we're doing is tearing people down. So the Bible says that if we would lift people up, we would demonstrate the kingdom, that they should feel, whenever somebody experiences you, they should feel the kingdom, the culture, the honor, the love. They should feel like heaven just opened up over them and that their life is better because they met you, because you demonstrated the power and the love of honor. Now, the kingdom of this world treats people based on their history. If you're a good person, if you're a great person, if you do good things, we will honor you. We will celebrate the good things you've done. If you're a bad person, if you're a broken person, we're going to shame you and treat you without honor. But the kingdom of God is different. The kingdom of God does not treat you based on your past. It treats you based on the destiny of your future in Christ. So we don't honor based on the past. We honor who you are, who this person is, or who they could be. Because Jesus washes away our sin like it never happened. And Jesus clothes us with righteousness. Jesus covers us with righteousness as if we are holy sons. And that's a culture of honor that creates an environment where we cheer one another on. We don't cut each other down. We don't shame each other. We don't look for them to make a mistake. And when they do, it's in a way where we want to cover their mistake and then lift them up and show them a better way. See, in our world's culture, only a few people have power, so we only honor a few people. But in the kingdom of God, he has put his power in every single one of us that are believers in Jesus. So all of us are royal. All of us are powerful, so we honor everyone. Matthew chapter 13, I want to remind you of when Jesus went to Nazareth. His ministry is in full swing. Raising the dead, walking on water, multiplying food, casting out demons. Jesus is Jesus in Matthew chapter 13. Jesus was telling a bunch of parables earlier in 13, but then it says, Jesus finished telling all of these stories and illustrations and he left that part of the country. He returned to Nazareth, his hometown. And when he taught there in the synagogue, everyone was amazed and said, bro, where did he get all this wisdom? And where did he get the power to do these miracles? And then they began to scoff at him. And they said, this is young Yeshua. Y'all remember him? He's the carpenter's son, Joseph's son. And we know Mary, that's his mama. We know all of his brothers, all of his sisters. Don't they live right here with us still in Nazareth? Where did he learn all these things? In verse 57, they were deeply offended. They dishonored him, and they refused to believe in Jesus. And then Jesus said, a prophet is honored everywhere, except in his hometown and among his own family. So he could only do a few miracles because of their unbelief. The only time that Jesus' miraculous power was held back was due to a lack of honor. I'm telling you, we as the church see very little of the miraculous power of God. And I think it is in part because of a lack of kingdom honor for one another. And the American church in particular, we've created this culture where if somebody is a prodigal, somebody knows God and then they run away to do their own thing, they reject their family, they reject the family's religion, they reject God, and they go off and they do their own thing, they become a sinner. Bless God. They fall to the bottom of the social world. They become sinners, addicts, adulterers, drunks, drug addicts. But then remember the prodigal story. That boy that had run away from his father and from his father's religion, he was feeding pigs, the lowest level that a Jewish kid could do. And then the Bible says he came to himself. He realized how far he had fallen. He had opened his eyes and his heart to realize that he needs to return to the Father's love. Because the Father always loved him. The Father always wanted him to return. The Father always wanted to honor him. But it was the Son who came to himself. See, listen, church. Jeff can sing songs until he's blue in the face. I can preach short. I can preach long. I can be funny. I can be serious. I can scream. I can whisper. But we can't change your heart until you come to yourself and realize your need for the kingdom of God in your life. And for far too long, the church has judged people, telling them of what they can do and can't do and shouldn't do. Instead, I want to create a culture, a new life, where we withhold any judgment and we simply speak the truth. We're going to speak the word, but we speak it in love, and then we lead people to come to themselves. That is life transformation, and it only happens in a culture of honor. See, back in the 90s, we loved to chastise people. God forbid if a 17-year-old girl got pregnant in the youth group, the shame that the church would pour out on her. We would love to shame people for the bad things that they did. It's like they deserve to be punished. They broke God's rules. Well, yeah, but don't we all? Aren't we all sinners saved by grace? Or here's something else. We shame ourselves. We're like, yeah, I totally blew it. Man, I got drunk after work. I slept with that person I wasn't married to. I looked at pornography. I got high. I stole some stuff from work. I screamed and cussed at my spouse or my kids or whatever. I blew it. I'm the sinner. And we begin to shame ourselves. And we dishonor ourselves. I'm less worthy of the love of God. And if I keep it up, I'm going to lose God's love altogether. And it creates a church. It creates a religious experience of anxiety and a fear of loneliness. But in a kingdom culture of honor and of love, we are always looking to lift one another up, to encourage one another, to strengthen one another. Let me tell you something. If you're a Christian, you are unpunishable. One person gets it. Because Jesus took your punishment and he nailed it to the cross, never to be punished again. Now, I'm not saying that your loving Father won't discipline you when you, we're all sinners. We still miss the mark, and the Holy Spirit will step in and go, hey, knock it off. Go and sin no more. But you won't be punished for your sin. And you need to stop punishing yourself. A believer in Jesus cannot be punished. Oh. Not bad, right? I should do this for a living. I've got another 2 pages of notes, but y'all look at me like if I go one more minute, you can get up and walk out. Stand up on your feet. Let's talk. You know the funny thing that God will do? He'll bring the word of the Lord through the weirdest person in the church. The weirdest person in your life group is where the power is. And let me explain why he'll do that. It's a test. Are you going to prejudge that person? Because what happens is we're crying out, God, move in our lives, move in power, touch my life. Just make sure it's Pastor Brad that prays for me. Make sure that Bill Johnson is the one who speaks a word over my life. And the Lord is like, I have put the power, the miracle in the person standing next to you. But you're like, oh, no, God. I don't honor them enough to receive from them. So what happens is we close ourselves off and we don't receive the miracle that we need in our life because we've prejudged people, we have dishonored them, we've devalued them, and we cannot receive the power of God through them. We need to humble ourselves and recognize that it's we that need to change. We are the ones that need to lift people up, to honor them, even when they've hurt you, even when they've wronged you. There is amazing power and victory. I remind you that Jesus was wronged by the Roman soldiers, and he looked down and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Who are we to hold judgment against anybody, even if they've hurt us, even if they've abandoned us, even if they've walked out on us? Honor, kingdom honor, lifts people up. It believes the best. It believes love. It doesn't cuss somebody out or mock somebody or cut them down in any way. It's always trying to find the best in people. Honor would never say, how dumb could you be and still breathe? And honor would never say, what is wrong with you? There's something wrong with those that don't honor. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you've outlined a way to have a kingdom royal culture of humility, of forgiveness, of honor, and of love. And in some way it seems so simple, and in other ways it seems so hard. Lord, would you forgive us for every time we have missed the mark and we've dishonored, every time we have not demonstrated love and honor and humility and grace, every time that we have allowed pride to well up in our hearts instead of humility and love and honor. Lord, we want to demonstrate your kingdom to this world, so I pray that you would help us to honor. Even for those that aren't worthy of honor, we choose to honor. We choose to forgive. We choose to lift them up. We choose to bless. We choose to love. You know, with your eyes still closed, still in prayer, I was talking a lot to Christians this morning. Let me just, if you're here this morning and you're not yet a believer in Jesus, I just want to ask a question. Do you want to go to hell? Do you want to pay for your sin? Or do you want to receive the gift that's already been paid for you? Because while you were still a sinner, God loved you so much that Jesus died for you. I would be really honored to pray with you this morning. If today is your day and you're ready, you feel God knocking in your heart and you're ready to humble yourself before God and repent of your sin and turn from sin and start to live holy and live for the Lord. So really, it's two types of people. One would be those that never knew God. They weren't raised in any kind of church Christian environment. They didn't really know God. But this morning, man, you believe and you're like, I need to get right with God. I need to repent of my sin. I need to believe and out loud pray. Or maybe it's the second group of people where you're like, yeah, I'm that prodigal. I knew God and I ran away and I let my heart grow cold and I ran from God and I've been shaming myself. And I pray that this morning you would come to yourself and realize God loves you. He's not mad at you. He wants to forgive you of your sin and then raise you back up to a place of kingdom honor. So those two groups of people, whether it's the first time or the first time in a long time, you want to get right with God. I would love to pray with you this morning, but I'd like to know who we're praying for. So I want you to raise your hand on the count of three and say, preacher, today's my day. Pray for me. Raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. I see your hand over there. Anybody else? I see your hand right there. Anybody else? Why don't we all pray this together? If you believe it in your heart, pray it out loud. Say, dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. I repent for sinning against you. And I receive kingdom honor. I receive eternal life. I receive your grace. I receive your love. Lord, since you have lifted me up, help me to honor others, to lift others up, to demonstrate your love, to demonstrate kingdom honor. In Jesus' name. I'm going to have our prayer team come down to the front, and if you need prayer for any reason, if you were one of those two people that raised your hand, or maybe you're here this morning and there's a need in your life that you're believing God for and just want to pray with somebody for a moment. Maybe there's a sickness or a pain in your body or in your marriage or your heart or your finances or your work or whatever. And you just need a moment to pray. But for everybody else, I'd like us to worship and then listen. I want you to repent just between you and God and say, Lord, I've dishonored that person in my life. I've dishonored my boss. I've dishonored my parents. I've dishonored, even if they're dead, you can ask for forgiveness and you can choose to honor. You can choose to forgive. Let's lift our hearts, lift our hands, let's worship Jesus.